let's turn our Bibles to Haggai chapter 2 this evening, and it's good to see you tonight. Thanks for coming out on a Sunday evening and being faithful to the Lord's house, and wanted to especially welcome Pastor and Mrs. Luz, and they were part of our church a while back, and a little while part of the staff as well, raising their family here, and glad that they've just continued on for the Lord. He's pastoring over in Adelaide Southwest Baptist. South City. All right, so I was trying to figure out, it was South something, but glad that they're here, just passing through and visiting us tonight. So welcome this evening, glad you're here, and appreciate just their continued service for the Lord. And then I met Chloe and Travis over there. They're part of the Brinkman's Church, and glad that they're here. Chloe is Joe Escurius's younger sister, all right? And so they're visiting, and good to have them. And I appreciate you all just being faithful tonight. You know, I was thinking through the course of the year, sometimes we don't, the year sort of flies by, doesn't it? And you could hardly believe it's the last Sunday of July, and we've had conference, we've had all of the different sort of events that have come through the year, and there's just been a lot happen as a church, and it's been a great thing. And so I think what I'd like to do, we're planning on doing for August, is just having just a time of focusing on thankfulness and just giving God thanks. And we're going to call it Thankfulness Month as we head into our anniversary Sunday. It's 46 years of God's faithfulness for our church. And so we're going to have that and just to have an opportunity to testify a little bit on things that we're thankful for to the Lord. And I think it's a good habit, it's a good thing to just pause, daily pause in our moments to thank God. And that pleases Him. And in fact, even as we approach the Lord, it ought to be with thanksgiving. And so we're going to have a few things that some initiatives for the course of August. So just be thinking about that, maybe start stirring that up in your own heart as far as what you're thankful to the Lord for. And it'll help your heart, I'll tell you that, as we start to begin to think about that. But Haggai chapter 2, we've been looking at just the theme of the book of Haggai and thinking through the challenge there and how it pertains to us as God's people today. And really we're rounding out as we pick it up in chapter 2 and verse 10. And it comes to another day here where there's going to be a sermon preached, and in fact, on this particular day, there's going to be two sermons preached, and so there's this one, and I'm going to call this the morning service, all right, and then next week, we're going to look at the evening service, but Haggai is addressing the people once again, after the initial challenge of rebuilding, of getting back to understanding their time was now to prioritize the house of God. Another 2 months have passed after the initial message given by Haggai, and already they had seen, as we looked at previously, that there was some discouragement that had come into the camp. The discouragement came by virtue of the comparison that some of those who had seen the previous temple had in comparison to the things that they were seeing the temple to be now. And they were somewhat, in a way, as they reminisced about the past and the glory of that particular temple, they began to perhaps discourage the hearts of those. And so Haggai comes by God's decree to go and declare some things to them and address that discouragement. And so he comes back, and now it's another day. And notice verse 10, in the 420th day of the ninth month. Okay, so previously he addresses them in the seventh month, so another 2 months has passed. So 3 months in total after the original message. And it's interesting again that he addresses them in those increments, right? He addresses them in the sixth month and the seventh month, so a month later already some discouragement had crept in. And another 2 months, and now it's 3 months later, and there was another message. In fact, two sermons that Haggai is about to preach in regard to some things that were creeping in. And again, it's just a good reminder at times that when God's dealing with us especially, and we've just had a great couple of weeks of God dealing and working through His Word in our midst. And I think some important decisions, some important things that God was bringing up in our own hearts that we're not don't take for granted that just because we decide and just because we are challenged by the Lord, that suddenly it'll just go plain smooth sailing. That we've got to be sensitive and listening in again to perhaps those things that are going on in our hearts, but those things that God would then address with us and perhaps even examine our own hearts tonight, whether this is typical of what's happening even now. And so he addresses them here in verse 10, in the 24th day of the 9th month, in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy?" And the priests answered and said, "No." Then said Haggai, "If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." Then answered Haggai and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and in all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it." Then he asked this question in verse 19, "Is a seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth." Then he says this, "From this day will I bless you." And so he's challenging them about some particular things. And it's interesting, again, that he comes to them on this third month in a really away from the original message in the 24th day of the 9th month. And if you look at our calendar, that's actually on the 24th of December. And so he challenges them about their apathy and found them working. He challenges them about their discouragement, which resulted in them taking courage to continue. And in his third sermon, he preaches a reminder of their recent past and really some hope, some future hope. He's reminding them about some things that had crept in already that perhaps as he's sent there is starting to creep in. And he's reminding them about a recent past. They had just been dealt with in regard to those things that were coming short in their lives. We know in chapter 1 that was really what was happening. There was a drought upon the land. There was a drought upon the mountains. There was a drought upon the corn, upon the new wine. And even though they tried to put in all the effort like they normally would, and even though they went through and were hoping for a bumper crop, there was something happening. And Haggai had to be sent to explain that this was a spiritual thing, that God was trying to get their attention. And he's saying to them, look, there's some consequences still of that. And I just need to remind you, lest you become complacent. And that's the issue that he's dealing with right now. He's dealing with the fact that now they've come through some building, and we're going to see there that he indicates that the foundation of the building was now done. So they had made some progress. And you see that in our Christian life. God deals with us and we make good decisions and we get our refocus on the right things. But then a couple of months later, we get a little complacent. We let ourselves a little down with some of those things that God had just recently dealt us with. And he's saying here, hey, listen, there's some complacency now that's creeping in. Firstly, it was apathy. He says, refocus from that. Then some discouragement from comparison. He says, refocus from that. And now he's saying, hey, listen, there's some things you just need to be reminded of, because in your recent past, there's been some consequences. In your recent past, you've gotten to a point where I've had to send a message particular to you to get going again, and there's some complacency creeping in. And he does this through reminders. You know, sometimes when we think we've figured something out, or we've already gone through a bit of consequences, Sometimes we have to be reminded about the situation that we're still in. The situation that we've just recently dealt with to be able to then continue on. And this is what Haggai's doing. You know, many of you know I grew up in Western Sydney. And Western Sydney wasn't a genteel place when I was growing up in Western Sydney. All right, the area that I particularly grew up in was Mount Druitt. And Mount Druitt was often featured in the news for very, very wrong reasons. All right, it wasn't because it was a destination. It was just not a great place to be. And you know, Mount Druitt's changed now, but back in that day, we used to, when we played school sports, there were particular high schools that if you played them and you beat them, you better run because the next thing was a beating, right? It was that kind of environment. And, you know, there wasn't any Christian schools or no real options for us as a family to go to any other educational institution or any other alternative to that. And so we went to public school. And you know, as you go, you just live lives with people. And in particular, my school that I grew up in, there were just some of those, you know, characters there. That was just their nature. They got in trouble. They got into mess, and it was just the mess and the reality of those who are lost. And, you know, as much as we tried, you know, there was those that we tried to witness to, tried to be a good example to. But, you know, inevitably in my different associations, just, you know, perhaps as we were classmates or perhaps as I was part of a team that they were in, there were those that ended up in juvenile detention. There were those that just were in that environment and they just went with it. And so what happened was after I was, you know, 16, 17, 18 and finishing high school, there were those who I used to know that got into their juvenile detention centers and they paid the price. They went through and they were actually jailed for different crimes. And so, you know, I wanted to keep in touch with them. I didn't want to just sort of count them out. You know, God's grace abounds, as we learned this morning. And there were times where I was the only one that would stay in touch with these guys. And I would come in and sometimes visit them. And you know, sometimes no one was going to pick them up. And so there were times where I was tasked with picking these guys up when they were released. And, you know, something that I did with our young people was I wanted them to understand the real consequences of sin. So one of the things I used to do was remind them of their recent past, and I would pick some up, and I remember a particular guy I picked up. He was just, you would never know he was this kind of person. He just was, you know, a little skinny and a little seemed like he was a bit of a nerd, really. But when he came to it, he just had that character, and I picked him up, and I knew he was a bit of a stubborn fella. And to remind him, I picked him up, and you know what I did? We drove straight to Penrith Courts. And we sat in the case that we could sit in, and we sat there all day to hear judgment after judgment after judgment. Why? Because sometimes what we need to do, what God needs to do in our lives, is remind us about the real consequences. And sometimes that's the thing that'll get through complacency in our lives, is God has to remind us through perhaps a sermon, perhaps life's reproofs, perhaps a bad example of others, that consequences are real. But see, for these people, these consequences are very real, and God reminds them that actually they were still going through it. And they better not be complacent, because if they do grow in complacency, they're going to get back to where they found themselves 3 months ago. And so in this first sermon of the day, the emphasis was on motivating them through some of these negative reminders and then a blessing, a positive outlook. And the first one we note there, and again, he reiterates the time of the year, says the 420th day in the ninth month in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, and he notes in verse 11, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying. He goes to the law, and he wants them to go and ask the priest, and it's interesting, again, they're trying to reinstitute the temple worship, trying to reinstitute the place where God's worship and God's dwelling and God's law was meant to be read out and taught. And here they go to the priests who would have been very very key characters in the rebuild of the temple. And he says, go to them and ask them something from the word of God. says concerning the law and particular ones, he says, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. In verse 13, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And you know what he was particularly noting here and reminding them about? He was reminding them about the cost of contamination. He was saying to them in verses 13 and 14, ask now the priest concerning the law. There was a certain code and a certain law that God gave to the Levitical priesthood about their cleanliness and about their holiness. And as part of that, there were certain things that they were not to touch. There were certain things that they had to be cleansed from. And if you look through, and we won't take the time tonight, but in particular places in Leviticus chapters 11 to 15 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, it outlines for us really all of these contamination laws. And you'll read there some of those who are contaminated by certain disease or certain things that are just pertinent to everyday life. And he was saying there that there's particular ways that you're supposed to be cleansed by that. And often what they would do was those garments that were spotted and those garments that were stained and those garments that were infected would have to go through some sort of ceremonial cleansing or, in the extreme cases, even destroyed. And he's saying that there's a great danger of contamination. And, you know, we lived just in our recent past, didn't we, over control of contamination. Everyone was afraid of contamination. And, you know, the cities were locked down and all of that and some outrageous things that had to take place because of that fear. But God had a mindset to that as well. There were certain specific laws that God points to that are related to holiness and cleanliness and specifically concerning the contamination here of the priest's garments. Now, you understand when he's saying here, we're speaking about the skirt. He's not speaking about the skirts that we see the ladies wear. He's speaking about the outer border of the priestly garment. You know, when it's saying skirt of the garments, it's not speaking about a specific part of the garment. It was speaking about the outer borders. The priest wore a tunic that had sleeves. He had the ephod that rested on his shoulder. He had the breastplate. He had the apron, and which was an overgarment, a robe. And then he wore a tunic for underneath for modesty. And all of those had outer parts that they had to take great care of, because if they touched certain things, they were considered unclean. And there were important times where the Levitical priesthood had to go into the Holy of Holies, and they had to have bells and pomegranates attached to the bottoms of that robe, the skirt. And if they went into the Holy of Holies and if the people could hear the bells ringing, that meant that they were still accepted, they were alive. But if they didn't hear the bells ringing, that means he had done something to be considered unholy, dead, right? And they pulled him out. And that's how seriously God took holiness. That's how seriously God took being clean before him. And the principle of the law is that holiness and cleanliness, it's got to be constantly monitored and maintained. It's got to be something that we're not complacent about, is what he's saying. And Haggai reminds them of the spiritual disease as dangerously contaminating. And it's because of this, if we're not aware, and if we're complacent about our holiness and our cleanliness before God, then the danger is that it quickly festers into disease. You know, if you ever notice that health doesn't catch on. You know, a sick person doesn't go around healthy people to get healthy. No, they've got to be set aside. Right? Isn't that annoying? The last couple of weeks, hasn't it been annoying that we just seem to catch things? Right? Sickness happens so quickly, you don't even know. Someone could have breathed your way. Someone could have not washed their hand. Ew, right? But all of that, how easy is it before we're somewhat contaminated with sickness. And God so often warns us about that even in the New Testament. You know, with certain attitudes of unholiness, certain attitudes that can quickly fester. And I think about this in Galatians chapter 4. Even in era of teaching, you know, there were those in Galatia that were being affected negatively. In Galatians chapter 4, and notice those that had come in with some false teaching where they added to the grace of God. In verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. It says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. And he's saying to them, you know, there's those that had come in that are affecting you, they're contaminating you. Look at chapter 5 and notice the warning in verse 7. He says, you did run well. And he doesn't say what, he says who. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And then he gives this simple principle, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's saying those things that those ones, those personalities that come in who were false, who hadn't shown a holiness to the teachings of that I'd given you, they're affecting you and not in a good way. And it's so easy for there to be a catching and a festering when we're not aware and we're not taking careful stock. And we become complacent about our holiness and cleanliness. And what he was saying, firstly in verse 12, if one bear holy flesh, he's referring to the skirts of his garment and the priest there. And he's saying there that it's we've got to be aware of our holiness through everyday practice. You know, these things that he lists, his skirt do touch bread, his skirt do touch pottage or wine or oil or any meat. And he asked the rhetorical question, it was an easy answer, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said no. And by the way, you know, the priest knew that. And the priests, where they were the ones that you should come to concerning the law. But, you know, we've got the priesthood now as believers and we have access directly to the Father and we ought to know these things. We ought to know the difference between the holy and profane. And he's saying to them, like, if any touch, will it be holy? Will it be pure? And he's saying no. You know, there's some strict things about the garment of the priest. And we know that even the garments were sanctified in Exodus chapter 29, verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle upon Aaron and upon his garments, upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, made holy, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. Look at Leviticus chapter 6. Look at Leviticus chapter 6. Turn there with me. Leviticus chapter 6. And notice verses 24 to 27. When pertaining to the sin offering, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. And notice verse 27, whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. You know, they took this seriously. Even as they went into that holy place, if there was any kind of spotting, it had to be ceremoniously washed. It had to be taken seriously. They had to take note. They had to be actively aware, not complacent. And the border of the garments as a whole, they had to take note. And effectively, these had to be sanctified as much as the wearer. He was considered unholy if the garment brushed against anything before the priest entered the holy place. And again, this is a picture of the carefulness we are supposed to have in our everyday. But we're not meant to just go around and sort of just think that holiness is not a thing that we ought to just take for granted. We understand positionally we have holiness because of the Lord. But he challenges us, doesn't he? He says, be holy, for I am holy. Hey, church, listen. That's a marker of a Christian. That's not just a point of yesteryear. No, that's irrelevant today. And we're supposed to have a mindset of those things that can even at times brush us, that we brush along our way. We just need to be mindful of those things lest we get caught off guard. And it's a picture of that carefulness we're supposed to take in our everyday practice. And we're to hate the garments that are spotted. And although we're positionally holy before the Lord, we are to be wary of our daily holiness so that we represent him well. We're supposed to be aware of those things that are surrounding us. And you know, the second thing in verse 13 we find is, it says, if one that is unclean be by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And I think secondly, not only do we need to be aware of holiness in our everyday situation, we need to be aware of cleanliness through everyday association. Because the thing that contaminates is not just things. The thing that often contaminates is not a thing, it's who. Who are we around? Who is it that we surround ourselves with? Who is it that we allow to influence? Who is it that we are touching every day? And if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these. And God was careful to instruct. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Thanks for turning there. And notice verse 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron and on that day. And they get instruction. Why? Because they had touched a dead body during Passover. Look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19, Numbers chapter 19. And notice verse 11, he that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day. On the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. So he's saying even if you don't go through it consecutively, if there was one particular day you weren't purified, then you need to start again. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. And again, just great pictures of the fact that we're not to associate. There's certain things about death that we need to be aware of. We understand prior to salvation, man is dead. The lost man is dead in his trespasses and sins. And we understand that we live in a time where we go around and we rub shoulders to say it in a way we are around. But he's saying here, you know, you are to avoid that association. You remember the demoniac of Gadara? Remember where he dwelt? He dwelt among the tombs. There was just something wrong about that. He's saying that we've got to be careful, and the dead is a picture of those without Christ. It was a picture of associating with those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And he's saying, make sure that you just make sure that you're being cleansed. Make sure that you're understanding that your associations can make you unclean. And then in verse 14, go back to Haggai chapter 2. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people. And he makes application. He's saying that's where you need to be aware. You need to be aware of the fact that there's some unholiness and some uncleanness that you've just not can't be complacent about. It's contaminating. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the application was to be aware every day. It's everyday awareness. So is this people. So is this nation before me. And Haggai applied this principle to the people. He reminded them that their purpose was now different, that they had to stay focused on the task. They couldn't become complacent because the cost was too great. And they had gone through a time of sickness because of their lack of prioritizing his work. And now was not the time. They had to remain focused and they had to remain sure that they couldn't let their guard down and allow through careless means to be dirtied by some of those that were in their midst even. He's saying, just be careful. Don't be complacent about that. But then there was a few reminders about consequences, and that's verses 15 to 17. He says, now I pray you consider from this day upward. He says, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Hey, listen, remember 3 months ago before the foundation was laid? Remember my challenge to you? Remember how I pointed out that there was drought? I pointed out that, you know, you tried to fill bags and there were holes in it. And remember you were going after things and you weren't producing like you should. And Haggai uses this word again. He says, consider. You know, he'll say it again one more time in the next message. He says it 5 times in total. And that word consider means to look to. He says, you know, you need to look to this. You can't just, you got to get your focus here. You can't just be complacent. And he reminds them of the consequences. And his point was for them to look to this in their lives again. It had just been a short 3 months and it was again at a pivotal juncture. And he reminds them what they went through. In verse 16, he says, since those days were that when one came to an heap of 20 measures, he says, you went to get 20, but you only got 10. He says, you went to the press fat, and you went to draw out 50 vessels of it, you only got 20. And here he's saying, you know, one of the consequences of this, if you become complacent, is there's going to be just some shrinkage in your life. There's some things that you're going to expect to gain, but you're not going to gain that, and it's going to be me. So Haggai came with a jogging reality of God's chastening of his people, which in the first place, it availed to repentance, and they needed to come to a daily reckoning again. In verse 17, he reminds them that he smote them with blasting and with mildew and with hail in the labors of their hands. And he reminds them, you know, I did all of that, and you still didn't turn to me. You know, you're stubborn. You know, you already went through all of this. The shrinkage and the spoilage. He's saying you went through all of that and you didn't pay attention. And Haggai reminded them vividly, hey, you went through all of that because simply you were complacent. You had grown apathetic to my warnings and my chastenings. You know, sometimes we can grow cold to that. We can blame it on other things as they did. We can blame it on the condition of the rest of the field, the world. We can blame it on everything else surrounding us, but actually it's just us trying to get our focus back on the Lord. And these were going to be consequences again if they hadn't been reminded. And so there was a reminder of contaminations, there was a reminder of consequences, and lastly, notice in verse 18, he says it again, consider now from this day and upward. And he reminds them the date from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. It says, consider, look to this now, from this day onward. He repeats for emphasis and perhaps to allude to the fact that another message is to come. But look what God's intention is. He says, I'm going to bless you. He says, if you just continue, if you just would keep focused, if you would just take care of some complacency that's creeping in your holiness, in your cleanliness, In forgetting about those consequences, he says, I'm going to bless you. And this foundation of the temple was laid. It was, you can imagine the temple was taking shape. You understand that it was enough that even those who were in the past were comparing it. They could generally see the shape of this new temple. And it wasn't time now to then just come back to old habits. It wasn't time now to come back to just the apathy and the discouragement and the things that they had already been dealt with. They're saying, hey, watch out for complacency. And so he asks a question. He says there in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? You know, the answer was this, no. Why? Because of the consequences. He says, you're behind. This should have been a time where you were gathering store. This was winter time. This was time where there should have been something in your storehouses. He's saying, is the seed yet in the barn? And God was asking this rhetorically. The answer was, as he had already elaborated before, no. You've paid some consequences. You've already gone through. You have nothing to show because you looked at the wrong house. You have nothing to show because I chastened you to no avail. You have nothing to show because this storing season, it's been replaced by emptiness, by the futility of your own efforts. He's saying you hadn't gotten your priorities right. And so it's not time to slip back into that habit again. It's not time to go back to that. And he's saying, is the seed yet in the barn? He goes through, he goes, yea, as yet the vine. You know, the fig trees, do you have any of that? Pomegranates, do you have any of that? The olive tree? And he says, hath not brought forth. There's nothing. Listen, you've already paid consequences. Let's not get complacent. And the answer given was this, from this day will I bless you. And he's saying, if you look to this, say if you just get your focus going and recognizing that complacency is a real danger. He's saying if you consider this and continue, then it'll be different to before. He's saying there's going to be plenty. Hey, listen, God is the one that he's meaning to bless. He's meaning to bring forth fruit in our lives. And even in Matthew 13, 23, that great parable about the seeds, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You know, and which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some. In another rendering of this parable, the good fruit only comes because of patience. You know, the understanding was this. If you're gonna see the fruit that I'm so willing to give you, you better keep your guard up. You better ensure that when complacency creeps in, that you look to it. That you're not just taking for granted, hey, I've made some good decisions. Hey, I've got my focus back. Listen, look at the foundations already here. Look, we've made progress. Hey, listen, that's great, you've made progress. But the job is not done. Hey, don't get complacent. Hey, look to your holiness, look to your cleanliness. And blessings come when we listen to God's reminders. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, we just make a decision that'll be it. Hey, listen, a decision isn't the end, it's the beginning. And we've got to continue to decide daily to just be focused on the right things, to prioritize God. And sometimes our recent past is the thing that God has to remind us of to confront us again and to jar us awake to the reality that complacency is always just around the corner. And we've got to develop a distaste of the things that it has produced in our lives. We need to replace it instead with continuing obedience and encouragement. And Haggai, he's going to round out his sermon by giving another one for the day. And it won't be tonight for us, thankfully for you. The people were now stirred again by a holy reminder of their recent past and God's capacity to bless. He's saying, I will bless you. And listen, I'm going to, he already said, this the glory of this house is going to be greater than the previous one. Hey, get it done. And God was reminding them of his capacity to bless. And I wonder how we're doing with what God has reminded us lately, what he's challenged us about. I wonder how we're doing. You know, it's just been 2 weeks really since conference. I wonder if there's some things we committed to the Lord. And you know as well as I do, you've battled. You might have faced some discouragement. You might have faced, you know, already some complacency. He's saying, hey, consider it. Look to it. And remember how quickly sin can contaminate. Hey, deal with sin. Deal with those things that are unholy in your life. Be aware. And remember the emptiness you've just been through. How are you doing? How are you doing in your efforts to rebuild what God has challenged you with? And will you stay focused? Will you remain prioritizing his work and his will? Because at the end of the day, God will bless. God can turn it around. And God can bring you to that place of working through and seeing the fruitfulness once again. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. And Lord, thank you for the good things and that we just are reminded of in the Word of God. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that we can open your Word tonight, Lord, just be challenged again. I pray that you'd guard our hearts, Lord, from those things that can so easily creep in, can contaminate, Lord, can Lord, can render us, Lord, back to square one. Help us, dear God, to just be reminded, Lord, to be aware of complacency in our lives. And pray that as we go into the week, that you would bless, that you would help us to go further for you. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.